Today's shiur is Masechta Erev Daf Ayin Daled. We will begin on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis at the Banim of Damud Gufa Merav. In order to begin our shiur today, we need to go back to halachas that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that in order to enclose a chatzar, we need to have either a board the size of Dalet Fachim, the width of Dalet Fachim, or we have to have two lechis on the two sides of that open entrance of the Chatzar. However, we learned that when it came to a Mavui, the first mission of our Masechta, we learned, taught us that a Mavui, unlike a Chatzar, doesn't require the pass, the board that's 4 Tfachim wide. It doesn't require two lechis. A lechi alone or a kaira alone would be sufficient. But what's very important to understand is what is considered a mavui that gets this special leniency. And that's what we begin our share with today in Baruch Hashem. Gufa Amarav, Rav teaches us a mavui niter. A mavui doesn't have the special leniency that you could carry with it after you made the shtufa mevois, which we've been discussing. A mavui niter b'lechi v'kaira. A lechi v'kaira will not suffice for a mavui. At she botem v'chatzeris p'suchim l'soichai. Until you have two chatzeris opening up into this mavui, and each chatzer has two homes opening into that chatzer. Shmuel Amar, where Shmuel's opinion is, afilu b'ayisach of the chatzer achad, even if to the Mavi there is only open one home without a chotzer at all, the chotzer achas and a chotzer that has one home open to it will be enough to give that Mavi the halachas of a Mavi. Rabbi Yochanan says, if on one side there's a chotzer and a bayis, and on the other side there's a churva we know means a home where nobody lives, it's a dilapidated home, that still will be enough as well. So Rabbeinu Yonason explains, why does Rav require that it should be considered a mavui? You should have to have two chatzeres, that each chatzer has in it a minimum of two homes. Because he explains that if there's only one chatzer opening to a mavui, then it's not a mavui. If it's not a mavui, so then it doesn't have the characteristics of a mavui. So he says, basically what Rav is saying according to Rabbeinu Yonason, in order to be able to give the mavui, the haterim that we're learning a mavui receives, we need to have a situation, according to Rav, where it's obvious that this is not just a chatzar, where it's not obvious that this is just not a chatzer. Rav is going to require that you have to treat it like a chatzer. The Chacham Tzvi has a very beautiful approach to understanding Rav. Chacham Tzvi says that one of the concepts that come up in this Masechta is that Chazal were more lenient to a rabbim. Chazal were more lenient to many, to a group of people, than they were to individuals. We spent many shiurim speaking about the halacha of pasi baros, that Chazal said that if you have a pasi baros in a area, if you have a place that a pit, a water pit along the way, you can make walls which typically would not be considered halachically accepted, but Chazal said that in that situation would be lenient. So what do we see from this, says the Chacham Tzvi? That Chazal took the needs of the rabbim very much into consideration. Says Rav, says the Chacham Tzvi, that when you have a mavi that has opening to it two chatzeris, and each chotzer has at least two houses, so now we have a rabbim. Once we have a rabbim, Chazal are going to be more lenient, and therefore they're going to say that the special leniencies that apply to mavi will apply. However, when you don't have that many people living there, you don't have that many homes and that many chatzeris, so then you don't have the reasoning that Chazal should be lenient and they'll revert back to the halacha of a chatzar. Rabbi Yochanan, we learned here, says that if on one side there is a chatzar to which one home opens up and the other side just has a churva, that's going to be enough. He's going to say that that's considered enough of a public area that we should consider it a mavi. There's a very interesting machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rav, we just said, takes the strict opinion regarding what's considered a chatzar, what's considered batim, that the area that they open up to should get the halacha of a mavi. So Rav says, let's say you'll have, as we've discussed in our previous shiurim, mavi, chatzeris with homes. But those homes are inhabited by people who are all of one family. So let's say you'll have two chatzeris. Each chatzer has two homes opening up to that chatzer. But the two homes are people from the same family. Says Rashi that according to Rav, that mavi again will not have the special leniencies that we give to a mavi. Because since, as when we learned the halachas of Aruvi Chatzeris, they're not going to, if they're being supported by the same fam, by their father, or they're eating together, different conditions we learned, take away the need for having Aruvi Chatzeris. So if there's no need to have Aruvi Chatzeris, we can't look at these two houses as separate houses. Tosfos, the Ramaskal Ad, disagrees with Rashi. And he says that even though they may not be required to make a Aruvi Chatzeris, as we discussed, the reality is that we have on each side of this mavi chatzeris with two homes that are open to them. And therefore, this has the physical characteristics of a mavi. And once it has the physical characteristics of a mavi, even though we have special conditions here because the people who are living in the houses are supported and connected to each other, it doesn't make a difference. However, it makes the Mishnah Berurah the point that even when we're saying that the two houses by the two brothers, according to Tosfos, even according to Rav, are considered separate, that's only if they don't eat in one home. But if the members of the two homes all eat in the same house, even Tosfos would agree that according to Rav, this would not be a mavi where you could rely on the leniencies of mavi. The only time that Tosfos is going to disagree with Rashi, says the Mishnah Berurah, is if they get support from the same father. But if it's a situation where it's not just the issue, that where it's a situation where they eat in one home, even Tosfos would agree that that can't be considered a mavi. Amar Abaye Rav Yosef. So continues the Gemara. Abaye asked Rav Yosef the following question. Amar Rav Yochanan, what will Rav Yochanan say b'shvil shakramim? What's going to be on one side of this mavui? You have the chatzor in the house. That's the same. But on the other side, it's not a churva. It's going to be a shvil shakramim. It's going to be a row of trees. What will be the halacha? So Rav Yosef responded to Abaye. La'amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said his halacha, his special lenient approach, el b'churva d'chazi l'dira. Only where a churva, which is a place that can be lived in. Aval, shvil shakramim. When we speak about a shvil shakramim, a place of trees, d'lechazi l'dira, which is not a place where people live, even Rav Yochanan loy will not agree and will agree that it doesn't get the leniencies of a mavi. And the Miri explains, because a churva, although it's a house in poor condition, it does have a roof, it does have some level of mechitzis. And therefore, to some degree, it's a place where people, not l'chatchila, where people can live. However, when you have a shvil shakramim, which is not a place where anybody lives, nor can they live, that's why Rabbi Yochanan would agree, he says, that it's not considered the same. So in other words, what the Miri is saying is that Rabbi Yochanan looks at a churva like a house. It may not be the optimal house, but it's a house. A shvil shakramim is not even considered a house. So as we've said a number of times, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, of one side there's a chatzor, a house, and the other side there's a churva, we could give that mavi the leniencies of a mavi. Rav Yochanan is following his opinion that we have found further in the Masechta, the Tanan, in the Mishnah, that pay Tesam and Aleph. The Mishnah discusses there, Rav Shimon Oimer, Echid Gagas v'kafifayis v'chachatzeris, Rishus hein l'kelem sheshafsu l'saychan. As we've discussed many times, the halacha is that one may not carry anything from his home to the chatzar unless there's a ruvi chatzeris. Obviously, the home and the chatzar we're speaking about are not one family. If there's only one family living in the home and one family living in the chatzar, then you could carry from the home to the chatzar without a problem. But typically, as we've spoken from the beginning of the Masechta, the way the homes were constructed in the time of Chazal, you had a number of homes that opened to the chatzar. So everybody could carry in their own private home. But if people want to be able to carry from their private homes into the common chatzar, a ruvi chatzeris are required. And if not, you can't carry something out. That Mishnah, Rav Shimon discusses, what about objects that were in the chatzar from before Shabbos? It didn't involve carrying anything out from the home into the chatzar. Would you be allowed to carry those objects? So everybody agrees those objects you could carry. The next question that would come up, can you carry objects that were in a chatzar to another chatzar? Could you carry objects that were in a chatzar to a karfif, where it's a karfif which is not a karmelis, it's a enclosed field that's less than 72/3 amos by 72/3 amos, that again, anything that's in that karfif from before Shabbos, the halacha is you could carry something in that karfif. If you didn't make an eruv, you can't. What happens if something was in the karfif? You could carry it. Could you carry something from a karfif to the chatzar to the gag? The roof has the same issues. So Rav Shimon in that Mishnah says, Rav Shimon oimer echad gagas, the roofs on top of people's homes, the kafifas, which we just explained, the chatzeris, rishos achel hein l'kelem sheshafsu. Anything that was mutter, anything that was outdoor can be carried. And as the Mishnah over there says, there are a number of opinions in that Mishnah. Remeya holds that all of the roofs are considered one rishos, and you can carry from one roof to another roof. All of the chatzeris are considered one rishos, and you can carry objects from one chatzar to another chatzar. All of the kafefis are considered one rishos, and you can carry from one kafef to another. But, according to Remeya, these are all distinct areas. So you can carry in all the chatzeris, but you can't carry from a chatzar to a gag or a karfif, and so vice versa. The Chum's opinion is that the gagos, roofs of homes, for example, each roof is a roof for a separate home. So even something that was out on the roof from before Shabbos cannot be carried from one roof to another roof. The same would be something that's out in a chatzar cannot be carried from one chatzar to a different chatzar. Rav Shimon is the biggest makel, lenient, and he holds that all gagas, all chatzeris, all chafifis are considered one large rishus, and anything that was out in them before Shabbos can be carried from one to the other. Rishus hachar hein l'kelem sheshafsu l'toichem, v'loy l'kelem sheshafsu l'soich habayis. Let's say you had something in the house, and you have an eruv with you. Something was in your house when Shabbos began, and you made an eruv from your house to the chatzar, and now you want to carry something from one chatzar to another chatzar. Such an object, even though it got into that chatzar on Shabbos with complete permissibility, you made an eruv between the home and the chatzar, so you're allowed to carry from your home to the chatzar, but that keli can't be carried from one chatzar to another chatzar unless there were ruvi chatzeris made between those chatzeris. Vamarav, and Rav said, Alocha, Rav Shimon. But Rav makes a comment, when am I going to follow the lenient opinion of Rav Shimon? If there was no air between the homes and the chatzar. Since there was no air between the home and the chatzar, I need not be concerned, says Rav, that something that was in the house as Shabbos began and then was brought to the chatzar because of the Erev, now will also be carried further from the chotzer to the other chotzer. Aval irvu, if there's an area between the house and the chotzer, he won't allow you to carry anything from the chotzer chotzer, because we are concerned, says Rav, gazrin dem osel afuki mani de batam l'chotzer. If I'm going to allow you to carry objects from one chotzer to another chotzer, you may come to carry even objects that were in the house to the chotzer and then to the next chotzer, which is obviously osur. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel, not only does he agree with Rav Shimon's lenient opinion, but he says, Bein Irvu, Bein Le Irvu, whether there's an air between the chotzer and the house, whether there is no air between the chotzer and the house, you could carry from the houses, you could carry objects that were in the chotzer from one chotzer to the other chotzer, and we need not be concerned that that may lead you to even carry objects that were in the house as Shabbos began. V'kenam Reb Yochanan, so does Reb Yochanan say, halach Reb Shimon, that not only is the halach like Reb Shimon, but the halach is like Reb Shimon, bein irvu, bein irvu. So why do we see that Shmuel and Reb Yochanan are of the opinion, that if we're going to allow you to carry from one chotzer to another chotzer, you may come to carry even something that you're not allowed to carry. Hachinami, so too does Reb Yochanan say, that if on one side of the Mavi there's a chotzer, and on the other side of the Mavi there's a churba, that we will be lenient with the Mavi, and will allow you to rely on the shtufim of ois, even if there's just only a lechi or a kaira on that Mavi, the God like Azrinan, and we're not concerned, says the Gemara according to Rabbi Yochanan, dem asal afuki mani the chotzer l'churba, that if you're going to come to carry something, now that we have the mavu, the shtufim avos, and you're going to be carrying objects from the chotzer that's on one side to the mavu, you may come to carry stuff to the churva. We're not, even, which you're not allowed to do, carry something from the chotzer to the, from the bias to the chotzer to the churva. We're not worried about it, just like we weren't worried about it by Reb Shimon, and that's why Reb Yochanan over here says that we could be lenient. So the Gemara continues to analyze the opinion of Shmuel. That Shmuel said that a mavui, a lechi or kaira, could be adequate, even if it's open with just one house with no chotzer, and the other house and the other side only has a chotzer and a haum. That's still enough. Says the Gemara, Yosra Rabbanu v'kamal ha'shmatza. So Rabbanu was sitting and saying over this opinion that Shmuel just taught us. Amalei Rabbi Lozer. So Rabbi Lozer said to Rabbi Bruna, Barbei Rav, you're a Talmud in Yeshiva. And my question to you is, Amalei Shmuel Hachi, then is this indeed the opinion of Shmuel? Amalei in, absolutely. Amalei. So Rabbi Lozer asked him, Achvali Ishbuzi, please show me where Shmuel is staying. I want to be able to ask him this question myself directly. Achvali. So Rabbi Bruna showed him where Shmuel lived. Osla kamei de Shmuel, and he came to Shmuel, v'amalei, and he asked him, Amar hochi, is this indeed your opinion? Amalei in, yes. So he asked him, v'amar hu d'amar, aren't you the one that said, we learned in the Gemara, that samach vav amabeis, ein lana be'ervin el kaloshim mishnaseinu. We, in Sech Ervin, we have to follow the exact wording of the Mishnah. And we learned in the Mishnah, that ein gimel amabeis, Shamovi lechatzeris, kechatzeris labatim. So the fact that the Mishnah used the words movi lechatzeris loshen rabim, it didn't say movi lechatzer, which seems to indicate that even one chatzer opening to the movi is enough. It says you have to have at least two chatzeris. So how could you be lenient when there's only one chatzer? Ishtik. Shmuel didn't respond. So now the Gemara is not sure, what does this lack of response represent? Does it represent Kibble Minei? He didn't respond, and because he didn't have a good answer, and he says, you know what, you must be right. Or like Kibble Minei, or do we understand that Shmuel, even though a question was asked of him, it doesn't mean that Shmuel accepted the question. Why? So I sort of Farshim explain, when Shmuel meant is that not every Mishnah wording has to be followed to the final digdik. Some Mishnahs are, and not all Mishnayos. Toshma. So the Gemara wants to know what indeed was Shmuel's final opinion. There was a Mavi that a person whose name was Avis Ba'ihi lived there. That Avis Ba'ihi had a home whose home was open to a chatzar, and there was another home. Avalei Lechye, and Shmuel made treated the Mavi like a Lechi, Visharle, and Shmuel allowed Lataltul B'Mavi, he could carry that Mavi. Shmuel obviously was lenient in this Mavi. Also Rav Anan, Shadye. Rav Anan came and knocked down that Lechi, because he said that a Mavi that only has a bias and a chotzer cannot have the leniencies of a Mavi. Omer, so Avis Ba'ihi said, Mavur de Dainaba, a Mavi that I lived in, the Sinim Shmeidema Shmuel, and we had a Lechi and a Kaira, we treated like a Mavi, a Lechi or a Kaira, we treated like a regular Mavi with the leniencies of Mavi. Neisar of Anna by Rav Najdim, how could you go and knock it down? In other words, in this Mavi, the Mavi had two entrances. One was to a chotzer where Avis Ba'ihi lived, and the second one was directly into a Beis HaKnesses. Certainly, according to Rav, this cannot be considered a Mavi that will have the leniencies of a Mavi. Shmuel, who was lenient, says that you don't have to have two chatzeres. And he said that since Avis Ba'ihi had a home in a chotzer, and the other side is a shul, that's good enough. That's what he said. He said it's good enough. Says the Gemara, Shema Mina, from this story, we clearly see the Shmuel did not accept Rav Elazar's kasha. Because if Shmuel had accepted the point that Rav Elazar had made with him, how did he continue allowing this Mavi to have just a Lechi or Kaira? Answers the Gemara, Lailam Emloch Kibamanei. This is not really a proof. One could say that indeed, after Rav Elazar asked Rav Shmuel the question from the wording of the Mishnah, he accepted the question, he accepted Rav's opinion. When Shmuel was there, the person who was the intendant in the shul, in the home, would eat at home, and he would then come to sleep in the Beis HaKnesses. If that's the case, we could look at the Beis HaKnesses not just like a home, an area that's not a home with a chotzer opening to the Mavi. We could look at it much more like a chotzer and a home. And that's why Shmuel was lenient. And when Shmuel was nifter, what happened was the Shamus no longer slept in the Beis HaKnesses. And since the Shamus no longer slept in the Beis HaKnesses, therefore, the leniency on which Shmuel based his psak fell away. So what are we saying? That the reason Shmuel was lenient with this Mavui is not because he has this very lenient approach on how to define what a Mavui is. Rather, the reason he was lenient was because it did have the proper characteristics of a basic of a chotzer, and now it changed. But now the Gemara wants to understand that Avis Ba'ihi obviously held that Shmuel, that nothing changed. Why did Avis Ba'ihi hold that way? Because he held Mata Peter Gorim. When we are to determine, as we discussed in our previous year, what is considered the place where somebody lives, the place where he ate. He never ate in the Beis HaKnesses. He always ate at home. So the fact that he did sleep there when Shmuel was alive and didn't sleep there anymore when Shmuel was no longer alive doesn't make a difference, because the sleeping is not what counts. Because Shmuel tamei, but Shmuel holds the makom lilingerim, the place where you sleep counts, and therefore while Shmuel was alive, if he slept there, it was considered a bias. Now he's not sleeping there, it's not considered a bias. I saw that the Achronim ask, how could he slept in the Beis HaKnesses? He's not allowed to sleep in a Beis HaKnesses. So the Shamat Shem Belocha explains, it doesn't mean that he actually slept in the Beis HaKnesses. He must have slept in one of the side rooms of the Beis HaKnesses, and that is permissible. The Yad Binyamin quotes the Chazon Ish, who says that he actually slept in the Beis HaKnesses. And he says that the Shulchan Aruch says that one is allowed to sleep in a Beis HaKnesses if it's for the safety of the Beis HaKnesses. And apparently they were concerned that maybe there's going to be intruders in the Beis HaKnesses, and that's why they were allowed to sleep there. Moreover, the Mishnah Berurah paskens that if somebody studies full-time, learns full-time in a Beis HaKnesses, then he's allowed to sleep there. So maybe that was the situation that we are discussing here. This Gemara, in a sense, is a Gemara that we need to speak about for a moment. Because here the Gemara teaches us that Rav Anon was dissatisfied, and he went and he took down the Lechi Yekaira that Shmuel put up. Yes, the Gemara suggests that it might have been a different situation than in the time of Shmuel. But it's a complicated issue. If one doesn't agree with someone else, psak halacha, we're entitled to disagree. Talmid Chacham are entitled to disagree. But does that give us a right to just dismiss, and not just dismiss with words, but here with action, what someone else, a great Talmud Chacham, did? So the Chishuk Echemed tackles this issue. And he tackles this issue by quoting that in the Hagdama of the Sefer Chedushei Reb Shlomo Hyman, the first Rosh Yeshiva of Tarvadas, Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, who was a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zitzal, still in Europe, in Vilna, quotes something that Rav Shlomo Hyman once told the Talmidim. He said, if you look in the Rambam, and you look in the Rambam, and you look at the Ravid many times uses very sharp expression to disagree with the Rambam. And again, the question Rav Shlomo was coming to address was if the Ravid wants to disagree with the Rambam, he certainly has the right to disagree with the Rambam. But why does he use such sharp language? He says the purpose of the Ravid doing so was because the Ravid was not just here to paskin shailus, was not just here to say that the Rambam holds this way and I hold that way. What the Ravid was really trying to accomplish, explained Reb Shlomo, was to teach his Talmidim how to react to something that they hear which they consider wrong. And he takes it, I think, a step further. What he says is, it really also depends on how incorrect you think what you heard is. And that's why the Ravid doesn't always use the same language when he disagrees with the Rambam. Sometimes he uses a sharper language, and sometimes he uses a less sharp language. It's not without reasoning. It's very, very much thought out. Because the Ravid, whose entire intention was to train his Talmidim, to train them that when they hear something that's incorrect, they have to disagree. They have to do it l'shem shemayim, just to get to the emes. And they have to recognize what's a bigger kasha, what's a more difficult question, what's a more difficult opinion that the Rambam is citing, and what's a less difficult opinion that the Rambam is citing. So when there's a l'shem shemayim involved here, like the Rambam and the Ravid, where they're like the Ravid with the Rambam, where everything that the Ravid is saying is only l'shem shemayim, to teach his Talmidim, to make sure that the halacha remains correct, then there's nothing wrong. But one has to be, says the Chishuk Echemed, perfectly certain that when he uses an expression, or certainly as an algamar, somebody takes an act against a different opinion, it's only l'shem shemayim. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Mavi shetzidai echad ovi kechavim. You have a mavi that on one side there's a akum, v'tzidai echad Yisrael, On the other side, there's a chotzer, which is open to the home of Yisrael. But the home of the Yisrael has openings to the back of that home with two other Jews. Now, it's very important the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara. On the side where you have Yisrael, you have a home of a Yisrael with a door between that home and the Mavui. And the homes of the other two Yisraelim that open to that home have windows opening up to that Yisrael's home. Says Gemara, Ein ma'avnos aderech halonis latir aderech psoch lemavi. We can't make an eruv chetzeris based on the windows between those homes and that home, that they should be able to take out from their kalim through a home which is closer to the mavi, to the mavi. Amalei Abayi l'Rabbi Yosef. So Abayi said to Rabbi Yosef, Amarav afilu b'chotzer. What will be the halacha when there'll be a chotzer like that? That means where there'll be a chotzer between one side is a nochri. The case that we just had was we had one side a nochri's home with a chotzer in front of it. And then you had the other side, the setup of the Yisraelim home with a chotzer in front of the Yisrael's home and a mavi in between. What would be the halacha if you'll have on one side a nochri, like we just said, and on the other side, this Yisrael home, Yisrael's home directly opening to the chotzer, and the other two homes having windows that will open up to that Yisrael's home? What will Rav say then? Amalei in. So he said, Rav said, even in such a chotzer, you can't make an eruv chetzeris. Says Rabbi Yosef, Diloy Omer, and what would be if Rav wouldn't have said it? Mai, maybe you would be able to say that there is a difference between a chotzer and a mavi. Why? He said, so he explained, Havamina, because we might have said, Tamid Rav, that what's the reason that Rav says that you can't rely on shtuf mevayis, lechi and kairba, such a mavi, shim deksavar, because Rav's opinion, going back to the beginning of our shir, is ein mavi nita lechi b'kaira, you can't rely on a lechi v'kaira, atche bata v'chatzeres p'suchim b'taychai. And here, you can't look at it as if it's a mavi that has two chatzeres open to it. Because on one side, there's the home of a nachri. And we go back to a concept, and we'll speak about it still now in the shir, the dearest nachri lo shma dira. The place where a nachri lives is not considered a dira. And therefore, relying that the home and the chotzer of a nachri that opens to the mavui should have the halacha of a home and a chotzer, we can't do. Because those halachas don't apply, the halachas of dira don't apply to a nachri. But if they were open to a chotzer, where we don't have those halachas, maybe it would be different. Ask the Gemara, Tatulamali. So why did we have to say this two times? Why did Rav have to start the shir, the aim of a nitter, that you can't rely on a lechi and a kair by a mavi, only if you have bottom and chatzeris, and have the halacha stated here as well? It doesn't all emanate from the same concept, that in order to be able to have the leniencies of a mavi, you have to have all the conditions the Rav has set forth. Answered Gemara Tzricha. We had to say it separately. Dimahi, if we would have only had the first halacha that began the shir with, a bot of chatzeris, havamina, we would maybe make the error in assuming the dearest nachri shma dira, that maybe the dira of a nachri is considered a dira. I ask all the Rishonim, Tosfos, the very maskil, havamina asked this question. We already learned at the beginning of this perek that the dearest nachri is not considered a dira, and therefore we said that only under certain circumstances do we have to make schiris, not always, and that's why schiris, even if it's a symbolic schiris, is adequate. So we already established the dearest nachri lo shma dira. So how could we think that somebody holds that way? Says the Gemara, that there, even though diras nachri loishma dira, we still were machmer, as we just said, that if you have a nachri living there under the various conditions that we were discussing, you have to do schiras rishus. Here, we're using this as a chumrah, that today was taught to chumrah. But here, if we're going to say that the diras nachri is a dira, maybe we'll be able to give it the leniencies. So that's why we had to mention it separately. Kamash Malan, that's why we had to teach us this halacha separately. The diras achrin loish madira, and therefore doesn't have the din of a chatzar and a bayis. V'imehacha, if we only had the din that we just had, where the nokri was on one side of the movi, havmina lo yudanik batim kama, we wouldn't get the exact amount of batim we need to have. Kamash Malan, that's why Rav had to teach us now the batim train, that how many homes do you have to have opening to each chatzar, to give those chatzeris the ability to give the mavi, the din of a mavi, two homes to each chatzar. Says the Gemara, hashtam Rav, afil chatzar. The Rav said even by a chatzar, this din will also apply, and that a ruvi chatzeris can't be made this way if one side is a guy and the other side is the Yisrael's house. Tam the Rav, the kosava, os lasis yochid, makam avikam. Why does Rav hold that? Because you don't want to have a situation that one Jew should live with a Nachri, because we were concerned that we don't want the Jew to learn from the way that the Nachrim behave. And that's why Rav said, we can't make an Aruvei Chatzeris here, that unless we deal with the Nachri, to prevent us from learning from the Nachri. Amar Rav Yosef, Ihachi. So ask Rav Yosef that we don't want the Jew to live with the Nachri, and that's why we're making these complications. We heard Rav Tavla say two times. Once on, there's a Nachri on one side and the Yisrael on the other side. And we don't understand what he wanted to teach us. But now I understand what he wanted to teach us. He wanted to teach us on one hand the Locha by a Mavi, that the halacha by Mavui is that we don't want a Jew that the dearest nachri l'shma dira. And then he wanted to teach us that even though on the side where the nachri is living, there are no other Jews living there, but on the other side, there are Jews living. And let's understand that a little better. It's not that they're just Jews living there. There's really only one Jew that has access to the chatzar. You have the other Jews that have access to the home of the Yisrael because they have those windows that have access. But that's already considered as if you have three Jews. And if you have three Jews, everybody, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that when you have more than one Jew with the Nachri, it's not a good situation and we want Schiris. So that's why this is how far Rav was concerned about it, that even in this setup, we would have to make Schiris with the Yaakov, and otherwise we could not just make an Eruv Chatzeris. Here the Gemara established, as we mentioned, Tosfos points out, not the first time in our perek, the diras akum loishma dira. We're going to Mitzvah Shem learn Masechta Baba Basra. The beginning of the Masechta already begins with the concept of Hezekriya. Hezekriya means that if two neighbors share a yard, as we've clearly learned in this Masechta, people sharing yards were very common in the time of Chazal, and one of the neighbors, given that the yard has the proper size, wants a wall to be erected that they should be able to have privacy in their chatzar. There's a concept of Hezekriya, there's a concept we could force, the Gemara was there explained, under certain circumstances, one could force his neighbor to put up a wall to avoid Hezekriya. The Gemara over there is going to explain different reasons why Hezekriya is considered an issue. The most common explanation is because of Ayin Hara. Another obvious explanation is for privacy. And we know, of course, that this is very much the mark of what Klal Yisrael is all about. That's why Bilam already said, Matoiva Alecha Yaakov Mishkan Eisecha Yisrael. Klal Yisrael know how to live in privacy, that the tents in the Midbar were set up in a way that everybody's tent was sort of tilted away from his neighbor, that everybody could have their privacy. So now the question is, if we're establishing The deer is akum loshma dira. So what's going to be the halacha of somebody sharing a chotzer with an akum? Is there a concept of hezek riya that the Yisrael should be able to demand from his neighbor, the akum, that I want to put up the wall? So the Sefer Chashuki Chemet actually brings a raya that even by akum we're concerned about ayin hara. Because Yaakov Avinu told his children, Lama Tisrohu, don't do something that people should look at you. Where was this? This was, who was there? There were no other Jews. So we see that even by Akum, there's a concern of Ayin Hara. He quotes Adas Zakenim that says that after the Akedah, Avram Avinu sent Yitzchak to learn the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. He should be out of the public eye. Why should he be out of the public eye? Because he was concerned of Ayin Hara, that people will say this was the person, Yitzchak Avinu, the great tzaddik, that was ready to give up his life on the Akedah for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So in order to avoid that Ayin Hara, he told him, stay in the yeshiva, nobody should see you. So the question is, and then again, who else was in the world? Akum. And yet we see there was a concern that Avram Avinu had for Ayin Hara. So he says that the Chazan Ish said that when it comes to Akum, we have to follow the halacha, the rules of the Akum. He says this concept that we're discussing, that we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn in Masechta Baba Basra, that teaches us about Hezek Riya, is a halacha that's part of our halacha. It's part of Chayshe Mishpat. It's not part of what the halacha of the Akum follow. And since it's not part of what the Akum follow, it's not, we, even if there is a concept of Ayin Hara by Akum, it wouldn't apply that we could force them to put up a wall, because there's no such a thing. We can't force our rule on them.